And now we will return to Psalms 119, found on page 841. And it continues on to the next page. One page today? Okay. 1 through 8, okay. I'm really confused today, aren't I? Okay. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walked in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep God's testimonies, who seek God with their whole heart, who also do no wrong, but walk in God's ways. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Then I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all your commandments. I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous ordinance. I will observe your statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly.
So let us turn to the second reading from the Hebrew Bible, from the Old Testament, if you will. Let's turn to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30, verses 15 through 20, on page 179 in the Hebrew Bible of your Pew Bible. You can find that right in front of you, hopefully there within arm's reach. We've talked a lot about simplicity, and in many of the readings today, God offers to God's chosen people, in this case the Israelites, a very clear choice. It is simple. You choose the way of life or you choose the way of death. Likewise, in the gospel reading, it is fairly straightforward. So often in our Christian faith walk, things can get muddled and detailed. And maybe it helps to simplify and think about the commitment that God is asking us to make. Deuteronomy. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today, by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways, and observing his commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you do not hear, but are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and holding fast to him. For that means life to you and length of days, so that you may live in the land that the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our epistle lesson today comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. Can be found on page 156 in your Pew Bible's New Testament. Hear these words. And so, brothers and sisters, I could not speak to you as spiritual people, but rather as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for solid food. Even now you are still not ready, for you are still of the flesh. For as long as there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving according to human inclinations? For when one says, I belong to Paul, and another, I belong to Apollos, are you not merely human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. The one who plants and the one who waters have a common purpose, and each will receive wages according to the labor of each. For we are God's servants, working together. You are God's field, God's building. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us turn to the gospel of Jesus Christ according to Matthew. A long series of lessons by Jesus that begin in the Beatitudes and continue on, some of which sound strange to our postmodern ears, but all of which ought to give pause. If we turn to Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 through 37, you'll find that on the page 4 of the New Testament in your pew Bible. So I encourage you to follow along. And all of these words are the words of Jesus. You have heard it that it was said to those of ancient times, you shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment. But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say you fool, you'll be liable to the hell of fire. So when you're offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled with your brother or sister, then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are on the way to court with him, or your accuser may hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to go into hell. It was also said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that anyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of unchastity, causes her to commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, you shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows you have made to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let your word be yes, yes, and no, no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, certainly food for thought. Not completely independently, but perhaps a little bit different direction. I want to call your attention back to the ideas that we've been talking and studying for the last 4 weeks from Reverend Adam Hamilton's book, Enough, Discovering Joy Through Simplicity and Generosity. This will be the last Sunday that you see the cover of that book on the cover of your bulletin. But over this past month, we've talked at length about our relationship with money and possessions. We've talked about our relationship with God and about the hard-earned reality that each of us can find contentment and joy by simplifying our lives and by becoming more generous. I hope and pray that at least some of this message has taken root in your heart, and that through the work of the Holy Spirit, this message will bear fruit in your life. Just to be clear, the last 4 weeks, those words were mostly Adam Hamilton's. Today, the words are entirely mine. Today, my brothers and sisters, it is Commitment Sunday. Today, I will ask each of you to make a personal commitment to God and also to make a community commitment to our church. Among the several inserts in your bulletin this week is a page that was also in last week's bulletin. If you were at home fearful of the snow, you didn't see it, but I call your attention to it again. It is titled in the middle here, My Personal Goals and Commitments for 2011. Pull that out. Take a look. If you haven't already done so, I am asking you as a favor to yourself to take some time in this coming week to read through this page, to fill it out, and to take it very seriously. At the end of the page is a prayer and a suggestion that perhaps it ought to live in your Bible as a reminder of the commitment you made this day to God. Please take this seriously. As it says, God has already made the ultimate commitment to you, because everything you have and everything you are, everything is a gift from God. You came into this world with nothing, and you will leave this world in the same way with nothing. God has given to you the gift of life because God loves you absolutely and unconditionally. Wherever your life takes you, God will be right there with you every step of the way. God is asking you to make a commitment as well to God. He's asking that you love God in return, that you repent of your sin and try to live a life in the model of Jesus, and that you reach out to other people to share with them the love of God that you have experienced. This page is one small way for you to articulate your commitment to God. In addition to this personal commitment, God is also asking you to make a similar commitment to your church. Throughout the Bible, if we go back to the Hebrew Bible through thousands of years of history, God's people have always offered sacrifices at the altar of the Lord. At makeshift altars in the wilderness, in the temple in Jerusalem, and in churches throughout the world and throughout time, God's people have offered back to God their first fruits, the best they have to offer, their tithes to God's church, so that the work of the kingdom of heaven may be accomplished here on earth as well. The yellow commitment card that's in your bulletin, the one, mine, that's in the basket, is the way that you can articulate this commitment to the body of Christ in Burns Memorial United Methodist Church. And today, during our offering, I'm going to ask you, as you are able, to walk that commitment card forward to the Lord's table here in front of our church. Now, you and I both know that times are hard for almost everybody these days. The economy is surely bouncing back, but there's a long and rocky road ahead. Times are tough for our church as well. Now, I won't veil this in theology or flowery language. Your church desperately needs your money. And your church leaders need each of you to make a commitment through this yellow card that tells us what you will share of God's back to your church. Our ultimate goal is that each of you will find the joy in tithing. Ultimately, you will become a tither, that you'll be able to give back 10% of all you have and all you are to God. But we and God know that many of us are not yet there, and that's okay. But let me tell you, this is exciting stuff. Let me tell you how your leadership will use your money to help bring about the kingdom of God. Now, to put it very simply, we change lives. The mission of the church is also quite simple. You've heard it said many times. To make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Nothing less than that. At Burns Church, we set up the conditions so that the Holy Spirit can change lives, transform lives. From the cradle to the grave, you good people of Burns Church help to transform lives for Jesus Christ. Now think about that and consider this. When babies are born into our community, they are already blessed and claimed by God. United Methodists call this prevenient grace, meaning that God's love is already with them from even before the time that the baby is even conceived. Now, as a church, we recognize God's prevenient grace by celebrating the sacrament of baptism. Think back. It wasn't too many years. Remember when we celebrated the baptism of Bo or DeJuan? At those sacred times, all of us promised as a community of Christ that we would work together with their parents to help raise and support these tiny babies as they grow in Christ's love. We made that commitment to these holy children and to their families, and they made a commitment to this church. As our kids grow up, we try to provide them a grounding in the Holy Bible by teaching them in Sunday school, in Vacation Bible School, in our youth group, and most recently, the last two summers, in our July fun and fellowship nights. And we can be very proud because this church has an amazing cadre of teachers and mentors. People like Becky Ross, Colleen Blake, Jackie Clark, Kathy Moton, Rick Ottenreith, Deb Burns, Joe Burns, Ruby Freeman, Dave Freeman, Melba Taylor, and I could go on and on. More and more these days, research shows that kids learn most about faith and they learn most about being a true Christian by watching the adults around them. Now, parents clearly are especially important, but also all the adults with whom they interact every Sunday at church. We are the role models for tomorrow's faith. As people grow and develop in the faith of Jesus, we try to support them along the way. Confirmation classes are a way of helping young people to fully understand what membership in the church means, so that each young person, can make the conscious and thoughtful decision of whether he or she is ready to make that commitment to God through their church. In like manner, we offer new member classes so that adult participants can come to a similar commitment to God. And as you know probably full well, I take church membership very seriously. Think long and hard about the words that we speak when we make a profession of faith. When we have people come forward to become members of this church, I ask them, will you be loyal to the United Methodist Church and uphold it by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? And each of us, to a person, said, I will. Our church has several strong groups that help people deepen their spiritual maturity as disciples of Jesus Christ. Sandy Tenney leads a group every Sunday morning of adults in Bible study. Our Thursday night group now numbers over 15 people. That's the core as we study books and the Bible. People who are becoming theologians in their own rights as we study together. Both our United Methodist women and United Methodist men have a dedicated cadre of folks who meet on a regular basis. Now, both the UMW and the UMM are always looking for new members because there are yet folks who haven't committed. Both of these groups make significant financial contributions to local ministries such as Aurora Warms the Night and also our education fund. We have an active mission committee that is chaired by Yvonne Seprich. Deb Gunther is the coordinator for our clothing giveaways throughout the year. And both Debbie Gunther and Kathy Moton serve on the committee of the Aurora Crop Hunger Walk, an annual tradition now at Burns and throughout Aurora. I could go on and on listing the many ministries and mission projects, such as Kairos Prison Ministries, all these kinds of things that the church is somehow involved with, but I hope you get the idea. Our church has long been proud of its role in raising up future leaders for the church. Melba Taylor is the driving force behind our district lay speaking training. Many of you remember Ken Burvey, who began as a member of our community. He has since progressed as a certified lay minister, and now he himself is a licensed local pastor serving Grant Avenue UMC. Mark Doctor and Bill Mitchell are lay speakers, and we have supported a long line of student pastors from the Iliff School of Theology. I'm currently mentoring three people who've begun the process of training into formal ministry. The Worldwide United Methodist Church sponsored 6 Sundays throughout the year that highlight specific important global ministries. Every time one of these special offerings comes up, this congregation gives generously. Early in my appointment here, Melba took me aside and she told me something that is absolutely true. She said to me that any time we put a face on a need, anytime we describe a pressing problem, the people of Burns Church are eager to donate money and time to the cause, and she is absolutely right. As people in our church get older, our community tries to support them. I think about Parker and Fran Douglas, about Charlie Kern or Cookie Baker, to name just a few folks recently. Think about the ministry to the homebound folks that's coordinated by Esther and Ken Smith. Esther is always ready to pick up the phone or to write a card to let someone know that we haven't forgotten them because God has not forgotten them. And finally, ultimately, when a person dies and returns to the Lord, our congregation always pulls together to accompany that person on their journey to God and to support the family and friends of the departed in their grief and mourning. And it sounds strange to say, but it is a true joy to experience a funeral and a luncheon when you good people draw together to mourn their loss. And so it's not really crazy that I can say with confidence, from cradle to grave, the people of Burns Church, you good people, work to transform lives for Jesus Christ and make the world a better place for all of us. The Holy Spirit does the work. God's Spirit brings about the transformation, but you make it more readily possible. And so, my brothers and sisters, this morning I am asking you, because God is calling you, to make a personal commitment to God and to make a financial commitment to your church. I promise that you will find joy and contentment by simplifying your life and by becoming more generous. Let us follow Jesus as together we make disciples of Christ for the transformation of the world. With the grace of God, the blessed example of Jesus, and the holy power of the Holy Spirit, let it be so. Amen.